I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
One gentleman, high-level officer, state of Montana, called it unprecedented, the amount of support that the state of Montana in this last session initiated and gave to law enforcement officers. A real shot in the arm. We'll talk about that here. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson, a former state legislator himself, went to work early. His team stayed busy throughout the session. The 68th Montana legislature convinced lawmakers the state needed to up its game on public safety. The result? Several measures that will better equip and I think also put more law enforcement officers, increase their numbers, and then back them up when they get the bad folk behind bars. Today, we talk with Austin Knutson, Montana's Attorney General on Voices of Montana. Get right into it today. It's a Thursday. We normally have open phones here, but I've been trying to get on Austin's schedule because this legislature wrapped up and his team did an awful lot there. And it was kind of difficult. Busy guy, as you note, with all the things that we'll be talking about here today. So we'll have a little bit of open phones tomorrow instead, as I had this opportunity. I didn't want to wait any longer because a lot of the stuff is fresh. And good morning, Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Tom. Great to be on.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. I want to start out with this from Brian Lockerbie because it'll launch us into the discussion, I think, that I want to have here is increasing public safety for Montana. So let's just play this. Again, I'll set this up a little bit. Of course, Austin, you might blush a little bit because there's some kind words here. But this comes from a gentleman who has worked in law enforcement for two decades, if not more. I think he's at even 40 years. He heads the Division of Criminal Investigation through the Department of Justice. And so he's the gentleman law enforcement officers who are enforcing trafficking laws, sex trafficking laws, drug laws, they come to him and say, Brian, I need these resources. And Brian would go to the attorney general. And Austin, let me just play this because I think it'll set up what we talk about here. But Brian Lockerbie, again, this was just a couple of days ago as we contacted him about some of these public safety things.
Let me just first of all say that I am just beyond delighted about the kind of support that we got, not only from the legislature, but also from our governor and particularly from our attorney general. I've been with him for the last couple of years when he's met with local law enforcement and been at police graduations, and he's made the comment that we have your back. And, I mean, the message to me was certainly loud and clear that we did get support. Public safety did get support. At DCI, that is our job, is to support local law enforcement. And it's frustrating when we don't have all the resources at hand to be able to help them. So, you know, we have narcotics agents that help local agencies with their narcotics problem. We have major case investigators that help rural agencies that don't have the resources with very significant crimes that occur in their communities. He went on the platform, or Attorney General went on the platform dealing with human trafficking, and he got us more resources for human trafficking. I almost feel in my 40-year career this is almost unprecedented to have this kind of support. And in a world of negatives, this is certainly a positive, and I feel reassured, and I'm impressed. You know, if I can also say this, you know, while other parts of the nation are urging the call to defund the police, Montana has certainly sent a strong message that they support public safety. Just knowing that we've had this kind of legislation and this kind of support in the last 90 days is certainly encouraging, not only to me, but to my brothers and sisters in law enforcement.
Sir, this is why it matters. And your comment on that. I mean, the work that you guys have done there, and we'll get into it in more detail. But I think I heard that and I was reassured that through this process, we are reassuring our law enforcement officers that we have their back, and you led that, and I appreciate that, Austin.
Well, those are some awful nice comments from Director Lockerbie, and I'm certainly very blessed, and the state of Montana should feel lucky that, you know, Brian,
yeah,
Brian's a longtime lawman, Great Falls PD for years, Special Forces, or not, excuse me, not Special Forces, but SWAT, narcotics. Brian's just a wealth of information, and he's such a great administrator for the state at DCI. But those comments, obviously, they do make me blush. But look, this is what I told people I was running on 3 years ago when I started running for attorney general. I'm a former county attorney. I worked with cops every day, and it was one of the highlights of my job is getting to work with law enforcement. But I started to see that we had some serious gaps in Montana, and that we were seeing a tremendous, tremendous rise in violent crime, and that we were seeing a huge, huge increase in drug crime. And, you know, that's something that legislators don't necessarily know, you know. That's not just legislators, that's Montanans too, right? Like, This is Montana. We don't really think about violent crime and drugs when we think about Montana. We don't think about Mexican drug cartels when we think about Montana. But unfortunately, that's what's happening. And so we had to work pretty hard to educate a lot of legislators. You know, frankly, we had to work with the governor's office and educate some of their people about what was going on to get their support. But overall, successful session. I really appreciate Brian's comments about, you know, Montana has never been a state that has gotten into this defund the police garbage.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's garbage. We're a state where we are proud of our police. We're proud of our sheriff's deputies, of our highway patrolmen. We like going to the cafe and having a cup of coffee with the local sheriff, or with the deputy. And that is such a great recruitment tool for law enforcement officers who are maybe fleeing a place like Minneapolis or like Portland and are looking for a good place to come. It's been a huge boon for our law enforcement recruitment here in Montana.
Let's go into that a bit since we're talking about it. I know that recently put out that applications were open for Montana Highway Patrol people. We're always looking for qualified people. And as you increase the numbers of law enforcement officers necessarily here in Montana, where are they going to come from? Did you increase training as well? Talk about that whole process of just plain putting more numbers on the street.
Yeah, well, I mean, it comes back to what I said. We do have a Mexican drug cartel problem. We've got a huge, huge problem with pretty much Mexican methamphetamine and Mexican fentanyl. And we know where this stuff is coming from. The Highway Patrol really has kind of become our tip of the spear. Tom, more and more often, a simple traffic stop on Montana's highways is turning into a drug interdiction.
Yeah.
This is just about becoming a daily thing for the Highway Patrol, where we now have a dedicated criminal interdiction team that basically all they do for the Highway Patrol is run around and take drugs off the highways. And that's an unfortunate reality for us here, but that's a very busy team, and they're taking just huge, huge amounts of fentanyl. We had a bust here about a week and a half ago. The guy had 12,000 fentanyl tablets. The number of people that would kill is almost too scary to think about. But those are the kind of interdictions that we're making, you know, maybe not every day in Montana, but every couple of days for sure. So we are definitely looking for great individuals who want to join the Montana Highway Patrol. I'm a little biased because the Highway Patrol works directly for the Department of Justice, so they work for me. I consider that one of the most professional, well-run law enforcement agencies, certainly in the state, but I put them up there nationally. You know, we just don't tolerate in the Highway Patrol bad behavior and you know, kind of the bad cop mentality. That's gone, and that's a credit to Colonel Steve Lavin and Lieutenant Colonel Kurt Sager. They're just such a professional organization, and they do such an amazing job for us in Montana. So if you're interested in a career in law enforcement and want to be respected within your state and stay home, take a look at the Montana Highway Patrol. Yeah, there are some increased training requirements for the Highway Patrol. Troopers go through the basic law enforcement class with you know, sheriff deputies and fish and game wardens, motor carrier services. They all go through the same training. But when that's done, Highway Patrol officers actually get a few more weeks of what we call the Advanced Academy. And what is that? Well, that's crash investigation, because that's a huge part of what the Highway Patrol does. But there's also some enhanced stuff, for personal safety, for drug recognition, for criminal interdiction, this drug interdiction team I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So just a great organization that I am really proud to be in charge of.
Yeah, and everyone that I have ever met, and by the way I drive, I tend to meet a few of them. They're just so professional, and you know that they're public servants, and that I can appreciate, especially as we do have a special thing in Montana. I'm going to knock on wood and say that and believe it and hope that continues. I want to get to this one too, as we're talking about our law enforcement officers and supporting them. I followed the progress of this, and I was surprised that Montana was one of just like five states, I think, that didn't have some kind of end of watch trust fund. Senate Bill 294, which was sponsored by Senator Barry Usher out of Billings, although he likes to say he's more into southeastern Montana versus the Billings area, got that passed. And I don't know if your team was on this, Austin, but maybe you can describe the end of watch trust fund. And I think that's an important movement forward in showing our law enforcement officers and their families that we got their back.
My team was involved in that one. I mean, kudos to Senator Usher. I mean, this was his football. I mean, he picked it up and carried it into the end zone. You know, we were lucky to be there and maybe run a little blocking drill for him to help him get there. But look, we've had in the last couple of months here, and let's back up. We've had it in the last couple of years.
Yes.
We've had several of our police brothers go down. Either victims of just heinous murders or seriously injured through shootings. You know, I can talk about Trooper Lewis Johnson, who was hit and run over in northwestern Montana here just a few months ago. I recently talked to him on the phone, checked in with him. We've had a number of these in Montana here in the last few years, Tom. And think about it. If you're a highway patrol trooper or you're a deputy sheriff, and you know it's not a huge money making proposition of a job, right? You're not drawing a huge salary here, and something happens and you are injured, or God forbid you're killed and you've got a young family. We want to be able to step up and help that family. Anybody who serves our state the way that our law enforcement officers do, they deserve our gratitude, and their family deserves to know they have some security. And so that was the thinking here with Senator Usher's Senate Bill 294, the end of watch trust. It was a bit of a lift at the legislature, but Barry got it done. Barry's a former law enforcement officer himself. If you haven't met Senator Usher, you need to. He's a dear friend of mine. I served in the legislature with him. But there's not a stauncher friend to law enforcement than Senator Usher. And he absolutely was the right guy to carry this legislation and get it across the finish line. And you know, what it did is it established some seed money for this trust fund that, you know, long-term we can help out some of our fallen or injured officers' families, provide them some long-term security, maybe help put some kids through school or pay some bills, whatever the case may be. But I think that it was absolutely the right thing to do, and we were just, like I said, we were honored to be on the front line with him on that one.
Well, I appreciate that too. I watched the movement of that bill, and I would encourage people to go back and maybe pick up some of those hearings or floor debates on it as well. But that now Montana has this, and it's very important. We're going to continue our conversation here. We're going to talk about more public safety measures with Austin Knutson in just a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
today. It's a pleasure to have a fifth-generation Montanan, Austin Knutson, Montana's Attorney General, leads the Montana Department of Justice, nearly 800 dedicated, and I believe that, dedicated public servants. Very much appreciate that. Former legislator himself, Speaker of the House, and spent a lot of time there. Also served as a Roosevelt County Attorney 2018 to 2020. And now is Montana's excellent Montana Attorney General. I appreciate your service, Austin. Let's get back into this. We can talk about human trafficking and sex crimes because, surprisingly enough, there wasn't a lot of bills on the books to handle some of the things that we are seeing now. So what stands out for you? Let's go with maybe House Bill 79 that was sponsored by Amy Regeer, Representative Regeer out of Kalispell, to create the Sexual Assault Response Network. Very necessary.
Unfortunately, very necessary. Yeah. You know, this is a difficult topic to talk about, Tom.
Yeah.
But it's such an important issue. It's one that's near and dear to my heart. Just as a former county attorney in a really remote area of Montana, this is something that I dealt with personally. We have a serious, serious shortage of sex assault nurses in Montana. What's a sex assault nurse? Well, when we have a rape, when we have a sex assault, we have someone come in, a victim come in, make an allegation, and there's an investigation that needs to be done. What happens to that victim? We need to have that victim taken to a hospital and have that victim examined, but it can't just be any old examination. It has to be by a qualified sexual assault nurse who's had the training and can properly conduct that examination and collect evidence for us for a prosecution. Extremely, extremely important. Also very difficult work. Right? I mean, that's not something that a lot of nurses step up and say, boy, you know what sounds like a fun job? Let me do that. But it's such incredibly important work. Well, what we found and what I found personally when I was the county attorney in Roosevelt County, way up in the northeast corner of the state, we didn't have any of these nurses anymore. They were all retiring and no one was stepping up to fill those spots. To make matters worse, COVID hit. And a lot of the nurses that would go around and put on these trainings to qualify other nurses, they weren't allowed to do it. So we had just a huge bottleneck happen. We had situations where if you were the victim of a sex assault, especially in eastern Montana, you were a lot of times forced to be sat in a squad car and driven to Billings, you know, several hundred miles in some cases, to have this examination done. Now think that through. You've just been through a horrible, horrible trauma. You've just been assaulted. You're not allowed to shower. You're not allowed to bathe. You're not allowed to clean yourself up. We need to get you to a hospital in front of a sexual assault nurse as quickly as we can. And in some cases, we were having to wait a day or two and then drive that victim a couple hundred miles to Billings. Tom, that's horrifying. That's degrading. And what we end up happening was a lot of victims would just go, you know what? Never mind. The heck with it. And that's horrible. We cannot have that. So what House Bill 79 did, it's establishing a program for us. We're going to get more sex assault nurses trained. We're working with some of the regional hospitals to provide us some more training nurses to get out. And the idea here is we're going to get more sex assault nurses trained and make sure we don't have the situation I just talked about.
That and there were other bills that dealt with, I guess, one related to the designations for sexual offenders, several requiring notices when a sexual offender is leaving the state. This also relates in my mind into human trafficking as well. And there was just a ton of work you guys did on human trafficking. I guess I'm up against this headline break. I'll get into it early, and then we'll come on back and talk about, again, those measures, increasing penalties for human trafficking. And then there's more, too, the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Program. And then we'll talk, too, about American Prairie and ESG and Waters of the U.S. Holy cow. Montana Attorney General's Austin, Attorney General Austin Knutson involved in an awful lot here for our state. Back with more in a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Welcome back, right back into the conversation with Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson as we talk about some of these public safety measures that were accomplished in this 68th legislative session and maybe get time to talk about some of the things that were left off the plate. AG Knutson, again, appreciate the public service and being on here today. Let's go into human trafficking. And one of the things I think is, you noted earlier, some of these things are hard to talk about. But the fact that these bills have hearings and they're heard on the floor, you get a lot of discussion. And I think that helps in crafting these things so that they do fit in law enforcement moving forward. Talk about the human trafficking accomplishments.
Yeah, well, again, thanks, Tom. This is another subject that it's hard to talk about. And a lot of people in Montana, A, don't want to talk about it, and B, it makes them uncomfortable, and C, they maybe really don't think that this is happening in Montana. But I can assure you, human trafficking is happening in Montana. And what are we talking about? Well, we're talking primarily about sex trafficking. There's just not a nice way to say that, Tom. This is a subject that I've learned a lot about, and I've gotten pretty passionate about it. It's an area, frankly, that our state law just didn't really contemplate very well. And so what was happening is we would have these traffickers moving typically young girls, not always, but typically we see young girls being trafficked in multi-state situations by a pimp, by a trafficker, just under horrific, horrific victimized conditions. Kudos to former representative, now Senator Dan Zolnikoff from Billings. He actually started talking about this a couple of sessions ago, started crafting some legislation, and actually got our first human trafficking legislation put on the books back in 2019. But really what we found is that most of these prosecutions, when we got them, they were going federal. And we really hadn't had anybody prosecuted under our state statutes for human trafficking because they were still a little muddy, and it was still something that a lot of our county attorneys just didn't really know how to use and how to properly prosecute. So we stepped in, my agency, and I want to give a shout-out to Representative Jody Etchart from Billings, freshman legislator, an absolute rock star. She stepped up. She works in healthcare. She stepped up, recognized this was a huge issue. She carried House Bill 112, which was just a gigantic lift for the Department of Justice, but it was a full-scale rewrite and reclassification of a lot of our criminal codes, and now dealing specifically with human trafficking. It took away a lot of loopholes, Tom. Under the previous code, if you were arrested as a John, and that's a technical term, what's a John? Well, that's somebody who is soliciting prostitution. And in this case, let's talk about soliciting underage minor prostitution. You get online and you're looking for a 13, 14-year-old girl. And this is horrifying, right? I don't even like talking about this because I've got children that age. You were able, under the previous law, to claim in court as a defense that, oh, I didn't know that that was an underage kid. I thought she was 18. And that was a viable defense. We've done away with that now.
Yeah.
No more misdemeanors. No more claiming you didn't know that that was an underage kid. We catch you with an underage kid that's being trafficked, you're going to get whacked with a felony. It's a first offense felony, up to a $50,000 fine. We're serious about human trafficking in Montana, and that really is the message that we wanted to send to these traffickers. But look, the reason these traffickers are operating in Montana is because there's a demand here. And to me, that's the problem. We have not been hard enough on the Johns, on the people who are getting online here in Montana and looking for underage kids to abuse. And that's what Jody Etchart did with House Bill 112. Huge lift by her. She did such an amazing job, and that's such an important piece of legislation. We're going to whack these people hard. And it's going to be great for our prosecutors, great for our county attorneys. It was drafted in part by our prosecution bureau here at the Department of Justice. So we know we've crafted this thing right. You can probably tell I'm pretty passionate about this.
Yeah.
And I'm a little excited about it because I think we're going to get some really good out of this bill.
That's good. And I so appreciate that because I have felt and said we got to do more in our responsibility toward our children, and this helps a lot. We'll continue this discussion. Montana's excellent Attorney General Austin Knutson here on Voices.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Thanks for being here. Hope you guys are doing well and do appreciate you making us part of your Montana mornings. VoicesOfMontana.com. You can contact me, Tom, at VoicesOfMontana.com. Show suggestions, ideas, a good old dad joke. Cody's daughter told a really good dad joke, but Cody's not going to repeat it on the radio here because it was really, really good. And I'm sure Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson probably knows a good dad joke or two as well. And probably curious about that one. Austin Knutson is with us here. And then just a reminder about tomorrow, Teacher of the Year, Catherine Matthews from Highlight Elementary, a special needs teacher. I think you'll enjoy that whole conversation. Enjoying this one here as we look back at what was accomplished in terms of public safety for the Montana legislature with Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson, fifth generation Montanan. Grew up in that ranch just outside of Culbertson, so he knows a few a thing or two about wrangling. Austin, appreciate that. You're probably also very involved in this American Prairie litigation. I know there was some movement on that. Get us up to date on that, sir. And again, thanks for your time here today.
Yeah, happy to be here, Tom. Absolutely. And great to pivot a little bit here and talk about agriculture. I mean, that's near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I'm a farm and ranch kid. I did that for a lot of years. If you're not familiar with the American Prairie Reserve, or they've rebranded themselves now, they're just calling themselves American Prairie. Basically, what this is a big dollar liberal group funded by large out of state liberal interests, basically looking to create a wildlife park up in northeastern Montana. Now, I have no problem with people wanting to do that. You want to buy some land and run critters on it and do whatever you want. You know, God bless you and Godspeed. The problem we have here is that these people want to do it using federal land. And sorry, that runs afoul of federal law. And that's really what this comes down to. Federal law is very clear about what Bureau of Land Management land is to be used for. And it's to be used for livestock grazing. And livestock is a defined term. That's important to lawyers like me. Definitions matter, right? When we're talking about federal law. Livestock is a defined term. Livestock means cattle, it means horses, it means sheep, it means goats, it even means burros. But you know what's not included in that definition, Tom? Buffalo. That's not an included species that's defined as livestock. And that, I mean, boiled down to its essence, I think that's what this case hinges on. You've got the American Prairie Reserve who was working with their friend, Deb Haaland, who is now the head of the Department of Interior, and they are whole-scale changing rule, internal rule. They are trying to change federal law, not by going through the Congress, the way law is supposed to be changed. They're doing it internally and hoping they get away with it. Well, guess what? I'm not going to let them get away with it. We've sued. We are in the process right now. The update I have is that we are working through the Department of Interior administrative appeals process. So we are not actually in federal court yet. That's the next step, depending on how our administrative law judge rules. But I think we're in great shape. The law is on our side. We've got tremendous, tremendous support from the locals up there in northeastern Montana. That's kind of my backyard up there. You know, we've been up there. We've done a town hall about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that was just packed to the gills on a Wednesday night, and not a single local up there is in favor of this. And to me, that's pretty telling.
Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson. I think that kind of sums up an awful lot there. So the latest, the appeal process is moving along. And you have stated, I think, that you specifically feels that this is a direct violation of the Taylor Grazing Act. Pretty confident in that.
That's exactly what we're talking about. It's the Taylor Grazing Act. It's an older piece of legislation, but it's still federal law. I mean, it's been in place for almost 100 years in this country. And it was put in place as a policy from the Congress about what our federal lands are to be used for. That's what we've got. There's a large contiguous block of federal land in northeastern Montana, kind of north-central Montana, and that APR is trying to come in there and get grazing leases, just like, you know, any rancher would, except they want to tear out all the fences, which they're already doing,
yeah.
And they want to run buffalo out there. Well, sorry, that's a violation of federal law. If you want to change the law to allow for buffalo, then you should go to Congress and go to the Senate and get the law changed. What you don't do is try to do it quietly, internally, on the sneak, with your friends inside of BLM, and just hope nobody in Montana pays attention. Guess what? We're paying attention. They're not going to get away with this. We've got a new administrative law judge that was assigned to the case. I'm not sure why our previous judge recused himself, but that's happened. Mm-hmm. But in either case, look, I think we end up in federal court here. We might end up going all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll see. But I've vowed to keep fighting this fight. I've talked to a lot of my friends and neighbors up there in eastern Montana, and we're going to keep pushing on this one, because this is important not just for this issue. If we let the Bureau of Land Management get away with this one, what are they going to try to pull next time? And we've seen that all throughout the Biden administration, them trying to change law internally by doing an administrative law, or excuse me, a rule change.
Yeah.
So that's what this is about.
Yep. And I think people see a clear line in the sand here when it comes to how important our process is for passing legislation and governance here. A.G. Knutson, let's move on to waters of the U.S., because that's another one of those that I think the Biden administration, through policy versus, you know, and outside of Congress and the legislative process, are trying to affect major changes in policy when it comes to water. I had a egg broadcaster who noted we had a heavy rain, and you'll see that, and then you see some of these fields get water in them. And he said, oh, those are Biden stock ponds because of the waters of the U.S. rule. The sad part about it is that could be true according to this rule.
It's the exact same issue, Tom, and you nailed it exactly. So let's break this down for your listeners. Right now, the states control their water. The states regulate their water, right? So think about if you're building a house and you're going to drill a water well, or you're going to apply for an irrigation water right. Who do you deal with? You deal with the state. You deal with the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, the DNRC. That's our state water regulatory agency. You also, in some instances, might be dealing with our state Department of Environmental Quality, right? If you're a developer and you're putting in a subdivision, you got to worry about stormwater, wastewater, sewer, all that goes through the DEQ. All right, so where are we at right now? The Biden administration has stepped in, and they have resurrected an Obama-era push to where the states will no longer regulate all of the water. Now the feds are going to claim jurisdiction over all water in the U.S. That's why this is called the Waters of the U.S. rule, and that's why this is so dangerous. They're claiming jurisdiction over every puddle, dock dam, irrigation ditch, seasonal puddle that you might have in your front yard. They are now claiming that the federal government has jurisdiction over that water. All right, so let's go back to our example. If you're a developer or if you're someone drilling a water well, you think it's uncomfortable and slow to deal with the state and to deal with the DNRC and the DEQ? How about now we make you deal with the EPA in Washington, D.C.? Does that sound like a good idea to anybody?
No.
This is a disaster. This is a horrible, horrible idea. And on top of that, it's a flagrant overreach. I mean, it's the same issue that we talked about with the APR. This is the federal government, the Biden administration, stepping in and trying a huge power grab, not by going through Congress, right? This is a wholesale change in federal policy and in federal law. And that's not going through our legislative branch like it's supposed to. It's not being debated. It's not being discussed. It's not being voted on. No. This is being done via executive order and by rule inside of a federal agency. This is absolute tyranny is what this is. And this is why I'm leading the charge here. We've got a number of states involved. A number of states have joined me in suing over this rule. But we're leading it here in Montana. I mean, this is way too important of an issue. And we've got the reins on this one.
A favorable ruling out of a district court in North Dakota. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's very encouraging. We're in front of a federal judge in North Dakota, and he agreed with us at the start. We asked for an injunction blocking that rule from the Biden administration from going into place, and that judge agreed with us. That judge granted our injunction. So despite the Biden administration's efforts, we've blocked this rule for now. We have not gone to trial yet. It's still very early in this case. We're still in the discovery phase. We're not anywhere near to a courtroom yet, but we're going to get there. Unless the Biden administration steps away and drops this proposed rule, which they should, but they seem to have a damn the torpedoes attitude up there in D.C. I don't really understand it, but that's where we sit right now.
The Supreme Court is picked up this issue. Do they have the totality of the issue, or are they just going to rule on a portion of it? Will there be some clarity as they rule through this?
Well, this is a really interesting time in U.S. Supreme Court jurisdiction. The Supreme Court here in the last 2 years has taken up several of these types of cases where you've got allegations of federal agencies overreaching and issuing sweeping rules. And the Supreme Court has been very critical of that. They have not looked kindly on federal agencies issuing these kind of sweeping rules that, you know, frankly should have come from the Congress. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I think right now the tenor of the court is in our favor. Obviously I hope that we don't have to go that far, but I'm also not holding my breath. I think it's very likely we're going to have to. Especially on an issue this big and this important. You know, the other thing that could happen here is in 2 years, Joe Biden does not get reelected and we have a Republican president that just does away with this rule. That's what happened when Donald Trump got elected. Same thing happened under Obama. Barack Obama tried doing this exact same rule. Donald Trump got elected and he rolled it back. That could happen here, depending on the time frame. But this is a very, very scary one. Who wants to deal with a bureaucracy under the EPA in Washington, D.C. when you're trying to do a new irrigation ditch across a 30-acre alfalfa field? That just sounds like a disaster.
Yeah.
And it will be.
Big government. Just not a fan. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson. Austin, I'm going to, I only got a couple of minutes here and we probably didn't save enough time to, But it's hard to talk about as well. This Monday marks Peace Officers Memorial Day, and you'll have a ceremony at the state capitol. I have peace officer friends in Montana who made that ultimate sacrifice as well, and I'll be talking about them on Monday. But your thoughts, sir, as Brian Lockerbie at the start of the program noted, people have felt that you do have their back. You've said that, and then you back that up with your activity through the legislature and getting some more resources for them. This has got to be a pretty moving but also difficult time for you.
It is, and as we talked about earlier, Tom, we've had a number of officers go down in the line of duty. We've had a couple of officers just be flagrantly murdered. We've had some very heinous assaults. you know, officers who were lucky to be alive, frankly, after having shot. Highway Patrol trooper here just a few months ago who was, you know, struck and run over by a drug dealer in northwestern Montana, and frankly is lucky to be alive. We've had a number of these in Montana. We're seeing more of them. And this is a very concerning trend. You know, officer-involved shootings in Montana are going up. That's difficult on officers. I get asked a lot, what's my favorite part of my job? You know, because I wear a lot of hats. But I can tell you flat out, my favorite part of my job is dealing with law enforcement. I love working with sheriff's offices. I love working with the Highway Patrol. And I really appreciate the work that they do, and I think we all should. So this is a somber occasion. We're going to be doing a memorial service in the state capitol next Monday in the rotunda. But it's not just at the capitol. Frankly, I'll be in Laurel for a peace officer's memorial parade and service here just in a couple days here on Saturday. Be making a few remarks at that event. I think it's important. I think as Montana's chief law enforcement officer, that's the job right there. I just said it.
Thank you.
I think it's important that officers see that we're supporting them and that we're backing them and that this is a state that truly does back the blue. And I think that's got to start with me.